Welcome to What the Code Show, the English version. I'm so excited to have my counterpart here, Carolina, who does the What the Code, the Portuguese version, and the original What the Code host. Carolina, thank you for sharing this spotlight with me and letting me part of your show.
I'm so excited. Can we switch? I could be the host and I interview you.
I think let's do both. Let's do sparring, you know, one against the other.
But I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to connect with you, and I wish you were here in person. We're going to have the X Summit soon, but I'm really appreciative of what you do for X Team, to both with our clients and also to raise our brand. I want to go back to your origin story. How did you start? How did you get into the tech space? What inspired you to be a software engineer?
When I was a child, I loved video games. So this inspired me to start coding. I guess most of the people that start coding have that feeling about video games. So the first time I played a video game, I just thought, can I do this? How can I do this magic? This is something amazing. And then this was like my main dream. And I'm so happy to be working today on Riot Games, because it's such an amazing company. So then when I graduated, I started looking for some programming courses and also books, and tried to learn myself, because I was graduated in graphic design, and then I switched it to programming. But my main dream is to mix both design and programming and make my own games. So I started learning code by myself, and also I did some courses, and here I am on Exim. I'm so excited.
Living the dream, right? You set a goal and you achieved that. How many people can say that? That's amazing. I want to ask you a question though. What was the first video game that you were playing that got you so excited?
Mario World, Super Nintendo. I'm really a big fan of Nintendo games. I have played most of the Zelda versions and Mario as well. I'm really a fan.
I am in awe of Zelda. I get lost. The world is so big, and I just walk and walk, and then I'm playing for hours, and then it says you've completed 1%, and I go, what? I've done so much.
Yeah.
I just can't believe how huge those games are, which is just amazing. What was the first thing that you built? What was the first thing that you developed?
The first thing I built was a game when I was I was still in the university, on my graphic design course, and one teacher just said, okay, you can do anything you want, but it needs to be interactive, can be anything you want. And I just thought, okay, I want to make a game. But I didn't know how to code. So I bought a book about ActionScript 3.0, and I started learning it, because I was familiar doing animations in Flash, the Macromedia Flash, that program of Adobe. Oh. And that's so nostalgic.
I love it. I was so sad when Flash disappeared. I used to love building programs in Flash.
And then I knew that you can do animations and you can add some kind of logic there. So I started learning ActionScript 3 to add some logic to my animations and maybe build something. And I created a game about monkeys, and you can't the main goal is that you should avoid giving food to monkeys, because it's not good for them. So the goal is you need to take the food off and avoid the monkeys to eat your food. So it was a really dumb game, but after that, I just started being passionate about programming and studying more, doing a lot of things. And yeah, this was my beginning.
That's so cool. And all right, I'll admit something here. Now, this is not my first program, but when I was at university, I met this girl that I had a crush on. I met her at a party, and I actually built her a Flash program as a way to woo her and, convince her to go out with me. It didn't work. I think she just thought, who's this nerd? And that was the end of it. So, but I tried, you know, I tried to use my Flash for good. I was so sad when Flash disappeared because it allowed you to create things so easily. You know, you could come up with an idea and sketch it out and create animation and interaction. And suddenly this thing existed. It was a shame that Apple killed it off because it was quite amazing in that way.
Yeah, and you could do like web games and mobile apps. It was amazing.
And when you were at university, what was it like to be a female in tech? Was that common? Was there like a lot of women in tech, or was that sort of something that was, you know, a difference in demographic?
I guess since I graduated in graphic design, I didn't have the chance to have the experience about doing a technology course and seeing what it's like to be a woman in this place. But I know that we don't have a lot of women doing this type of course, and this is something that makes people give up sometimes. So yeah, I didn't have that feeling because I learned coding by myself, but I know that a lot of women have this feeling as well. And today, as a woman creating content, I have like the responsibility to be someone to inspire other people.
It's such an important part to be a role model for that. I know for X Team, we get very excited when we get to hire more female X Team engineers. Personally, I have twin daughters who just finished high school, and all the way through, I tried to entice them to go, hey, maybe try programming. And they had just zero interest. It wasn't something that they were inspired by, whereas they saw, you know, some of their male friends who were very into that, and they still, even today, which I find surprising in 2024, that young females see it as, oh, that's something that more the boys are doing, not that's not for us. And one of them is very much into art and, you know, design like yourself. The other one is into science, but yeah, it wasn't something that I guess they're seeing as much of other female engineers, like software engineers, that is
exactly
something that they're vying for in that way, right?
I think like having someone to like seeing someone in this place as a software engineer that you can be inspired by their journey is something really important for us, like for the community, to have more women learning programming, more women in the market.
And what do you enjoy about software engineering? What is the thing that keeps drives you and gives you the fuel to keep doing it?
I think software engineering is some kind of magical, something like that, because you create something that could really impact the world. So talking about the games, you can create something that give a really remindful experience to someone. I remember when I was a child playing video games with my sister, and that was like a really incredible time. So I wanted to create this kind of experience to people, not just games, but when you create a product, when you code, you're basically solving problems to people, and you can give a better, like improve their lives in some way. So I think this is something that really inspired me to be like, to work as a software engineer.
I like what you're saying there about the element of problem solving. I remember when I was in first year university, and we had like a work experience course, and I was working in this office, and this guy, one of the managers, would show me this end of month thing that he had to do. He had to move financial data from this system to that system, to collate it, to create a report and do all this. And he showed me this thing that he spends a day every single month. And I go, oh, okay, that's really interesting. And I went and thought about it, went to home. And then I came back to him a week later, and I said to him, I've built something here. And I built the software tool for him to be able to push a button and for it to just happen. And just the look on his face of what I've been able to do to save him a day, a month of his life of menial tasks, and just to automate that was so rewarding. And I think that, yeah, it's great to be able to create games, and so many of us that start in development want to do and build games. But I think also like this opportunity to solve a problem, to make something function simpler, it is just as exciting. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing what you can do with technology, right? You can you can make a lot of things easy. Also for me, like I try to automate a lot of my process as I can, because we have a lot of tools today. So it's good because you have the power in your hands when you know programming.
And Cassie, coming into, how many years have you been in X-Team now?
Almost 3 years.
Wonderful.
Almost 3 years. Yeah.
And all the whole time at Riot Games?
No, I started on an internal project and then I went to Riot Games.
What's it like being an X-Teamer on Riot Games? What's that experience like for people out there who would be so curious on that?
It's like a dream come true, because games was the main reason why I started learning programming. And then here I am working in one of the bigger companies that create games. So this is like amazing. And also you see how many people play Riot Games games. So it's really amazing. You do something that will impact a lot of players and improve their experience. So the feeling that you are doing something really valuable, it's really good. Like it's an amazing experience. You are always learning. You are working with amazing engineers. Yeah, it's really good.
It's interesting. Some people who aren't gamers might think that playing games is a waste of time, that you're doing something lazy rather than contributing and all that. I saw a conversation with Elon Musk about the importance that he has in playing games. Like, this is the wealthiest, you know, super successful individual, and he's a big gamer, and he finds it as an opportunity to be completely at peace, because when he's doing other things, his mind's always racing and all that. But when he's playing a game, the intensity that he has to give to it in order to be able to concentrate, to be successful, to be able to, you know, not get shot or something like that, he has to give all of himself. So for that reason, it allows him to actually be able to switch off completely his mind to all the other things that are functioning in Tesla and in, you know, SpaceX and all that, and makes him better at the job afterwards because he's been able to take that break. Isn't that fascinating, like that, how gaming can contribute in that way?
And also, if you think that you can mix games with education, and it's really powerful for you to learn anything you want.
I've seen gaming just support so many different points of life, you know, like people who are with learning disabilities using it. I've seen it for people who are in aged care facilities. My mother-in-law went in an aged care facility and they brought the Nintendo Wii Fit. Do you remember that? Like with the tennis and all. And they loved it. Like, it gave them a chance to people who can't get up and go to a bowling alley to play bowling there. And I think that's an ability for us to play, that's part of humanity. And like, really good games are able to spark that within people. I think it's a very worthy thing to contribute to. And I think it's so great that you see the value in what you're helping to achieve. I was actually at Riot Games early this year, at their offices. Have you had a chance to visit there?
No, I want to, but I never did have a chance.
It's so cool. So they've got this office in LA, in Santa Monica, and you walk in there and they've got all these arcades for people to play and take a break. They've even got a room set up with all the old game systems, all the old Sega Master Systems and, you know, all the different Nintendos and Ataris and all that connected to old televisions, so people can go and play all that. And I'm sure it inspires them, in building new games as well. It's a space that gives you that innovation. But for yourself, that, you know, you're not at the Riot Games office, how do you find connecting with Rioters and working remote, under the X-Team engagement?
Actually, I visited the São Paulo office and it was an amazing experience, because it's really cool to see all the studios and everything they have there. But I think that besides that, like, Riot has a strong culture. Like, we have time to play together, and this is amazing. So you have a meeting on your agenda just to play games. And everyone like games there. So I think, like, games is something that you see everywhere when you were working in Riot? Even if you're not on the office, it's something that you really breathe as a Riot. So it helps you to get connected.
That's wonderful. I know that with speaking with the Riot engineers and team managers and all that, they have this strong principle of treating everyone as if they're in one team. There's not like, oh, well, the Riot engineers are here and the X team contractors are over there. It's everyone's there together to contribute to the one solution. And I find that the X team clients who work in that way get the most value from their engineers, because if you tell them, I'm going to not treat you as some external contractor, but as someone internal, I think you're just as invested into the goal. Like, how do you find that as an engineer working?
We have that feeling that we are just the same team. Like, we are working together to reach a goal together, and we are a team. I don't see a difference between Rioters and X-teamers. And also, they really love X-teamers because we are engaging. We are like, we have ownership and we are always trying to contribute. So it's really good when you are in a place that you feel that your work is valuable to that place. And I just feel that in Riot. Like, I feel part of the process. I feel part of what we are doing and delivering to players.
Something that they've also said to me, they really appreciate in the X Team engineers. One of the managers said to me, there's something special about X Team engineers. I don't quite get it, because we sometimes use contractors from other companies. And when you meet someone, you can tell if they're an X Teamer versus coming from someone else. And that was such a lovely compliment, that they saw that our recruitment, our evaluation process of the people that we let in to X Team and then let into the specific clients are so deeply vetted, both to be an X Teamer, but then also to be suited to that specific client. How have you seen, like, because you've been there now almost 3 years and working with now different X-teamers that have come on to Riot. How do you see that process?
I see that X-teamers always try to contribute, even on onboarding. So they start trying to do something, trying to improve documentation. So at the day one, they try to contribute. And this is like amazing. And they also, I think X-teamer has like unique energy, like we're always excited to do things, and this is really good. Like, I really can identify who is an X-teamer and who is not, because we are always trying to do our best and we are always trying to reach the next level. I think this phrase is really true about X-team, reaching the next level always.
And Carolina, what's it like to be an X-teamer? What's it like to be part of this community?
It's amazing. X-team is really interesting because we have a strong culture and you have also a remote work. So I think this is one of the challenges of companies having remote work. And we have like here a really great experience. Like, you feel part of a community. You can interact with other people. You can join the outposts. You can join summit and everything else. So you feel as you are part of something and not just working for a client. So the experience is amazing. The events, all the initiatives that we have here makes you feel that you are part of a unique team. And this is really good.
Have you had the chance to attend an outpost?
Yeah, I went to the Floripa outpost.
And do you have any plan for next year?
I was trying to go to Fernando de Noronha, but I don't know if I would be able to. But I was also like interested in Japan and other countries as well. So I would try to. It's like I really recommend to everyone who join X Team to at least go to one outpost, because there you will see how is the expo at the X Team culture and how is the X Teamers like in person, and it's amazing.
I really find that it changes you when you go to an outpost. I went to the one last year and the one in 2019, which was in Poland, and just, you know, it's beautiful. We get all these technology with Zoom and Google Meet and Slack and all these things that allow us to connect remotely. but it's something different when you get to meet someone in person and then you work differently with them afterwards. I think that that's why I'm so excited for tomorrow, where we're going to get over 150 ex-teamers coming here for our ex-summit. It's just going to be like magic to have that buzz.
And it's really...
We're sorry to miss you there, that you weren't joining us this time.
It's really interesting how you think the experience on summits, like, it's really unique, like the games and everything. I want to be able to go to one summit next year. I promise I will be there.
I'll see you there. You're not just a amazing software engineer, ex-team, right? You're also quite a social media influencer. You've got a lot of following. How did all that begin?
Okay, so I started creating content because I wanted to help my friends. I was a freelancer for a long time and I wanted to share some tips about being a freelancer, like how you can find work, how you can have stability. And that was the beginning. So after sharing my first tips, I saw that I could impact more people, and also I could talk about technology. And also as a woman in this place, I could inspire other people. So I started to create content about technology, content about career, and I expanded my social network, not just creating content to YouTube, but also Instagram and LinkedIn. And yeah, here I am today. I have like almost 300,000 followers on YouTube. And this is amazing. It's really good to see that you are helping people. This is like my main focus, like helping people.
It comes from such a good place that your origin of why you're doing it is to support and also to inspire other women to get into tech, rather than, you know, some people just want to do these things in order to get famous, in order to get noticed, in order to get likes. You're doing it. Your reward is the support that you provide into a community, which I think that's inspiring in itself. Did it grow with one particular video that went viral, or was it like a progressive thing? How was the journey? Because I'm sure a lot of people are interested to be where you are, to follow a similar path.
I think I was very lucky because my first video just went viral. So
straight away, wow.
Just right away. I was sharing how to find work in a freelancer platform, and I shared all my tips. And I remember that I recorded the video with my phone, and I didn't have even something to place my phone. And it was like a really horrible video. But it was really nice because it was an honest content, and the idea was really to help people. And I think that when you share something that connect and that have truth and connect with other people, this is like the recipe to have something that will go viral and people will share because it helped their lives.
Yeah, it's funny. People are trying to reverse engineer how to make viral content based on other viral content. But there's so much content on the web. There's so much information out there that if you're repeating something that someone else says, it doesn't have the same effect. Whereas when you're giving something that's very authentic, that's original idea, that people actually gain value from, that's the stuff that works. And that's what your first video was, right? And that's where it's going. Have you kept that consistent theme with what you're producing?
I guess it's about like sharing your point of view. This is really valuable. Like not just repeating something, but sharing your experience. I think this is what people want to see in the internet. Like,
and how has it changed your life, having this segment of it, of being someone who is followed by so many people?
Like being in the internet is something good and bad at the same time. Because you help a lot of people, you inspire a lot of people, and this is really good. But you also have the side of haters, and you need to like filter some feedbacks. So you need to have the open mind to always improve your work and trying to get better, because some feedback are really important, but you need to filter some things, because can be like toxic sometimes. But the overall experience about being an influencer or a content creator is really good, because it's really nice to see the impact of something that you share it, like, and change it someone's life. So I remember that I shared like a lot of tips about interviewing, like how to be successful in interviews. And I remember to get a comment and a feedback for that someone just saw the video, applied to an interview, and he passed it. And it was amazing. Like, okay, I contributed to his life, and it's really good to have that feeling. Okay, I changed the life of someone. I improved the life of someone.
I'm really curious in your opinion on this thing of the negative comments. I gotta say, I don't get it, because for many years being on the internet, I would, look at something and I wouldn't even give it a like. And then progressively I learned, no, you should be encouraging. So I started giving likes. I don't think I've ever put a thumbs down on anything. And then, now on LinkedIn, when I see, colleagues and clients and all that post something, I try to make a point of coming up with an encouraging comment. I can't imagine a world where I would spend my time writing a negative comment for something. I think either I'm encouraged by it or it's not for me. But there's so many people out there that do negative comments. Why? Like, why do you understand, like, what is the mentality of why do people do things like that?
Yeah, I don't understand as well, because I wouldn't do something like that, like spend energy just writing something. But maybe it's because it's easy to do this in the internet. You don't have to put your face there and, okay, I can say anything. But it's just like a small group of people that do that. If you think about the overall of my public that go and see the video, it's just about like 1%. But you need to be aware that you have 1% of haters, and you need to filter this kind of comments, not be thinking about this on your day.
I guess it's in the same way that, like, my parents always taught me, like, not to pick up trash rather than to throw things on the ground. And there's people that do, and there's people that graffiti. And I the concept that I've always held and what I try to teach my children is make sure that your space in this world, your day, you've contributed to it rather than taken it away. The actions that you have, the world is a better place for the things that you've contributed to it rather than taken away. And I think if people can have that mindset, then it doesn't have negative comments. You can have encouraging things. You can have DMs to people to say, hey, I'd recommend you do this rather than that. That's the part I understand. But do you read all the comments that people put through on your posts?
I try to, because I try to establish like a relationship with my followers. Like, I want them to feel that they are part of my friend. So to be really near up to them. So I try also to help as I can. So, but it's really hard because it's a lot of videos, a lot of comments. I can't answer everyone, but I try, because I feel that it's really important to them. When I answer a comment, they think, oh, you answered me. This is amazing. And it's really nice to see that. Okay, I want you to know that I care about you as well, because you gave me something that is really important, like your attention. The attention of someone is really important. So I want to attribute that to you as well.
What would be your advice to like a young woman coming in, like, let's say coming into the tech space, wanting, like, seeing you as ex-teamer, as working at Riot, as being, you know, a content creator? What would your advice be for them to go in a similar sort of journey?
I think the secret is not to think about what you see now, because if you look at the market now, you will see that we have a few women in the market, like 20% or less. But think about the future. You can be someone that will inspire other people. So just as I did, like when I started. When I started 30 years ago, it was less than 20%. But I didn't give up, and I started my journey. And now I'm inspiring other women. So I feel that you don't need to care about the percentage of women that you have right now. Just think about the future and you can make the difference.
Let me ask you this. What inspires you for the future? What are the goals that you're striving for?
I want to continue contributing to the community because I just have that feeling, that grateful feeling, that I need to attribute everything that I achieved in my career. So I wanted to keep creating content and sharing knowledge, sharing information. I really believe that we can change the world with the power of information. So I want to be that person who is part of this, like changing people's life with information. And yeah, this is what makes me like start the day like feeling good. This is something that really moves me every day.
It sounds like it's a goal that is ever going, right? It's evolving and you'll be constantly hitting towards it. But is there a thing of, oh, once I get to this, I'll get this many followers, or I get this sort of deal or something? Like, is there something like that as well? Or is it something that you're just going to continue to head towards?
I just want to continue, but I also want to have a more solid contribution to the community. Like, I create content, but I believe that I can create more things. Like maybe I can create a course, or maybe I can create a library or something like that, or contribute to the open source community. I feel that I can do more than I do today. I know that I do what I can. Like I share what I know, but I feel that I can do more and like be someone important to the community, not just because, okay, you have followers, but you did like a strong contribution to the community at all, like talking about technology.
So Carolina, what are the challenges that you see to achieving that future, to continue to grow and expand your reach that you're trying to do to educate and to share with more people?
I think I need to like be more focused on what I'm doing, like, and also have a plan and write the steps that I want to do, because sometimes I just feel that I randomly do things and share things, but I don't have like a plan. Okay, let's do this and let's do this. Let's record a course. Let's do this, or let's create this project and publish this project. I think that I should have a plan, an action plan, so it would be clear for me the path that I need to reach the goal that I want. Currently, I don't do that, so I just feel like I'm missing time because, yeah, I do things randomly, but this is what I can do now. I need to improve this.
I'm really interested in that. So when you're, because I've seen you're quite prolific, you create a lot of content. Do you not plan this out to go, oh, here are the next 10 posts that I'm going to do, for this day, for this day? Do you just like, oh, I come up with something, turn on the camera and start recording? Like, how do you currently produce the content that you do?
I do some research. So I know the trending topics or something that is relevant to the community to record content. But I don't have like a big picture about how it's going to be my year. I think this is important. Okay, let's focus, not just like recording videos about technologies and things like that, but okay, can Carol like record something, a bigger project, like a series of videos or a course for the community? Or can Carol create a project from scratch to help people, to teach people about how to do this? So I think that I wanted to have like a main goal, like a long-term goal, like that I can write on the paper, the steps, things like that, because I plan the content, but it's not something really, okay, I really have a plan, I have boards and everything like that. It's just, I just go with the flow. So I feel that I need to be more organized in this perspective.
So like setting a primary message that you're trying to convey,
exactly.
That is made of several steps, and then like producing the content that way. Is that what you're...
Yeah, exactly. You're because I feel like talking about bigger, like talking about content creators, I feel like the creators that have a really large community need to do that. So they need to plan their work because it's not just a hobby, it's not just something that I do as a side project, but it's something really important to their lives. It's just their career. So I feel that I need to give the importance of creating content just as my current work, like, need to be something that I need to have some time to plan the next step and the next step, so I can like be more so I think doing this I could achieve more bye. So I think that doing this will allow me to reach what I'm trying to, like my goals, faster or something like that. Or maybe not just wasting time, like just experimenting things. I feel like I need to be more like mindful about what I want to do with my social networks and my projects as well.
But don't you think that when you experiment and do something like different, an idea that like, ooh, sparks it, you know, something with you that might not be part of like an overall big plan, that's where innovation can come through as well. I'm sure that there's something that you posted that you weren't quite sure of, and that particular one got a lot of engagement. Has that happened to you?
Yeah, it happens sometimes. But I think when you experiment something, you need to have time to understand what happened in that particular content that you shared. Okay, I did something different, but why this is different? Why it reached a new audience? So that time to see it and understand and analyze the data, it's something that I'm also missing. Like, it's not just experimenting, but you need to experiment and you need to understand and learn something for your about your experiment. So I feel that this is really important. And this is something that you do when this is not just a hobby. This is just something that it's part of your work. So yeah,
to learn from a particular post, why did this particular one that you experimented in, why did that work, and to understand, is this something that you should be doing more of because it's gotten that engagement? I feel that you've got this mindset that you've, and I think this is beautiful, you feel like you've got a responsibility.
Yeah,
that now that you've got hundreds of thousands of followers, there's a responsibility in the content that you create because there's a lot of people watching and you want to make sure that you're delivering to them something that is of value of their time because you know how many people will connect with it. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, exactly. Everything that I share today, I need to study a lot. I need to be careful about everything I share because I usually reach a thousand of people. So it's really important to understand what I'm sharing. And also this part of caring about, okay, I just did this post and it went viral or something like that. I want to understand what happening. This situation where you sit and you analyze, it's also something that it's important to show people that you are not just trying to be famous or something like that. You really care about the things that you do, sabe? I just mixed the Portuguese with English, you know. But yeah, I just feel that we need to be careful. Like, we are, I don't feel like I'm a public person, but I reach a lot of audience, and everything I share, I need to be careful about this. I need to be mindful about the importance of my visibility. So this is why I think that I need to have a bigger plan.
Well, I think what you're saying is that the importance of being authentic, right? The importance that what you're producing, because your viewers know that if something's coming from a real space. I know from speaking to my daughters and their friends, they trust a lot more things that they see from content creators on TikTok than something that they might see that's heavily overproduced by something that's on network television, because they know that there's more at play there. There's more vetting and curation. This is about just, you know, someone liked something and they just from their heart said, "Hey everyone, this thing's amazing. Go check it out." And then they go, "Well, that's where the reality is." And they can tell the difference of who's just producing it for the engagement and who's actually just being genuine and wanting to share and put something out there that will benefit others.
Yeah.
Finally, can I ask you, you're as a engineer and like you said, the content creation is not just a side hobby. It is really part of your identity. How do you manage that? How do you have that work-life balance to ensure that you don't burn out whilst doing all these things in your life?
This is really challenging for me because like 3 years ago, something like that, I didn't like organize it, my workspace, like my workflow to do this in the right way. So I almost had a burnout, something like that, because it's really easy. Let's just suppose that you code like 8 hours a day, and then you need to create content, and then you need to read comments, and you read bad comments. So it's really challenging. But what I do now is like, I try to have an agenda. So this is important. So I have hours, like, okay, I start my day at 8 p.m. and I start coding, and then I have an interval where I will answer to some comments, and then I will record videos in just one day of the week. So I try to record videos just one day of the week. I try to like write all the scripts and everything that I need to. So when I start recording, I record like 3 or 4 videos in one day. So this type of organization and having an agenda helped me with this work-life balance, and also having hobbies and doing exercise. Remember about the things that makes you feel alive. This is really important. Like, okay, I love to draw. So this is my hobby. So I love to draw, and I love to play video games, and I try to do it because it's just small pieces of things that you do in your day that save your day.
Even if you love your job or you love the content creation, if you give, like, pour all of yourself into it, then you could risk losing that. You could risk losing that love because it becomes a burden. So that balance is so important for us, so that you're looking forward to it. I personally look forward to working because I feel like I've been able to sort out that balance, that I am excited for what I've got to go. It's terrible to say this. I'm on holidays and I go, oh, I can't wait to get back to work because some really exciting things I want to do. Maybe that's a good thing. Like, you're supposed to be inspired. You know, we're not forced to do what we do. We choose to do it. Yeah. And so when you have that, then it's exciting to do something that you actually like.
Also, you have to have time to be bad on something. Because when you talk about work, you want to be good. Like, I want to be a good software engineer, and I want to be a good content creator, but I don't need to be good drawing. I can be really bad, but I will have fun. So I think you need to have space on your week or on your day to be bad in something and just have fun.
You know, I say to my wife that I want to have more time to play guitar because I want to get really good at it. And she says to me, yeah, but you're not trying to perform to that. You're not trying to compete with that. Just enjoy it. In reality, what I wish she'd say is, oh, but you are amazing. But anyway, I think I get what you're saying and I get what she's saying. Kalina, finally, your handle, @Takita, am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, exactly.
where did that come from?
It's just like a nickname. I had this on my childhood. So I don't know what means, but yeah, this is my nickname. And now it's part of my brand, my personal brand. Yeah.
That's so neat. Well, thank you for this. Thank you for being an amazing X-Team engineer, for all that you do with X-Team and for our, you know, great client Riot Games, and also for all that you're doing to support people, to inspire others, to be like you, to, learn to code, to be a female in this industry. I know that we've got a lot of engineers who have come to want to apply and work at X-Team just by seeing your videos, by saying, oh wow, look at this person and what she's doing, I want to be like her. which is just beautiful to be able to contribute that to the world. Finally, what's your handle? Where can people find you?
Okay, you can find me on YouTube, LinkedIn, and also Instagram. My it's like Atekita. So you can find like Atekita Dev, and also in LinkedIn will be Carol Atekita. So yeah, I'm in everywhere. Just search for Atekita, you will see my content. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share a little bit about my journey. I think we talked about several important things here, and I hope that this conversation could inspire other people. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Carolina. Thank you, everyone, for watching the What the Code English version. If you want to watch the Portuguese version, here is our host,
yeah.
where she's got a lot more experience at this than I do. But it's great to connect and see you on the other side and being interviewed and hearing your
story. Let me just do a question, because let me just be the host right now. So just tell me, how is it to
I'm nervous.
Yeah. How is it to be the CEO of X-Team? How is it to be in such important place?
It is such an amazing honor to be part of this, to be at the head of this company that has such strong values. And I'll tell you, I felt it that I desired this role when I was at the X Summit last year, where I was there meeting with so many X-teamers and connecting with them and hearing what this company has done for them and how it's supported their life journey. And I thought, this is a good way for me to live my life. I want to be able to contribute to that and to help this company grow, to find more organizations to be part of the X-Team clients so that we can get many more X-teamers to have this great life. So I was just delighted when I was appointed in this role. It does feel like a dream come true to be in this job. I feel like I'm in my dream job.
Amazing. I feel we are really like lucky to have you as a CEO, for sure. Thank you for all the job you do.
Thank you. I appreciate you throwing that microphone back at me. I think that's it. I think we're a wrap. Thank you. This has been a great show and a great conversation. I hope our viewers have enjoyed this.